So we're here with former Governor Tom Kaine of New Jersey. Governor, you just spoke on the panel here at the New Jersey Spotlight on the Cities Conference. What's your take on the best solutions for revitalizing New Jersey's urban environments?
Well, the first thing is recognize how vital it is, because often they can be forgotten. You can have a whole campaign for governor, we've had a number of them, without the cities hardly ever being mentioned. And so the first thing is to decide you have to have an urban agenda. The second thing is, obviously, to talk to the best people about what that urban agenda should be. And my feeling is it should be based on how you create jobs in cities, how you improve schools in cities, and how you make cities safer, because you're going to have better schools and more jobs if you keep the cities safer. And I think the agenda ought to be around those three priorities.
Are you optimistic about the trend for millennials to move back to urban environments?
Oh, yeah, I am, and I see it. I mean, I see it all over the state now. I see a lot of for sale signs, a lot of country areas that didn't used to be there before, and that's sort of sad. But on the other hand, you see people moving back into the cities, and you see area like Morristown is booming. People are moving back into Newark. Jersey City is booming. And you see it happening. New Brunswick's doing pretty well. Even Camden, for the first time probably in 30 years, is starting to show some real signs of life. So that's all encouraging. Now, if government comes on top of what's already happening and has policies to encourage its further growth, then I think we can turn the cities around and do it in the next 4 or 8 years, not over a long period.
Thank you very much. Here at the NJ Spotlight on Cities Conference, we're with former Governor Jim Florio. Governor, what's your sense of the best solutions for revitalizing New Jersey cities?
Well, I think we've got something working for us, those of us who are committed to urban renewal, that the demographics are changing, the prospects for urban redevelopment are getting much better. I mean, the city of Camden, city of Newark, Perth Amboy, all those communities are changing around for the good. And Camden is a place that's close to my heart. I was raised there and lived there, represented them. Having a wonderful mayor who is honest and competent, Dana Redd, is really refreshing. It's not always been the case that we've had competence and honesty in urban government. I think things are starting to change, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we are onto a new level of attainment of good goals that all of us seek after.
What are some of the best practices you would hope that the state government would employ in the future to try to encourage development in the urban centers?
Educational funding is very important. The urban areas come back when you have public safety and when you have good educational opportunity for people. And if the public safety part, we're starting to appreciate the fact of a need for community policing, more interaction between the community and the police department. And education is something that's always extremely important. You're not going to have economic growth unless you have an educated workforce. The knowledge-based economy that we're going into requires that we make the investments into education. And for those who say that education is too expensive, where do they find out what the cost of ignorance is?
You have been, throughout your career, a very strong proponent of robust transportation infrastructure, and we've seen some stories in the accident recently on NJ Transit. What do you think is the best solution for upgrading and improving?
Transportation for New Jersey is absolutely essential. I mean, we're a corridor state. We have now not paid attention to transportation needs as much as we should have. And as a result of that, I mean, there are companies that are moving out of New Jersey because transportation congestion on the roads is not just inconvenient, it's now becoming impacting upon productivity. So the Transportation Trust Fund has not been funded well for the last number of years. We're making a change. I think it'll really take a change of administration in Trenton to be able to prioritize what's important and what's not.
We also spoke with former Governor Jim McGreevy, and that conversation turned to the issue of better vocational training and education for inmates coming out of New Jersey's prisons.
The goal here is to have a world-class vocational education, understanding that, you know, I know many young people that graduated college, you know, with certain degrees that find themselves not competitive. But for example, this experience in North Carolina showed me that having a technical skill that that is valued by the marketplace can make somebody, can ensure that someone is marketable, is profitable. And so I would just push New Jersey into a more vigorous, creative framework that allows for entrepreneurial education, that it, that recognizes best practices, such as Brooklyn Technology Institute, but that allows students to be their best.
Are you optimistic about the trend for millennials moving into the urban
yes.
centers?
I mean, we need millennials not only to move into the urban centers, but we also need a commitment to the residential, to the population that's present, to make sure that they're not placed out of their homes, and to make sure, God willing, that the strength of millennials or their interest in educational excellence is also afforded to other parts of the community. But part of this is, you know, Steve, is just breaking out of this traditional model, this agrarian-based model that we're all farming, you know, during the summer months, and we're all going to university education. I mean, that hasn't been true for 100 years, and we're just sort of locked into this ossified paradigm that we have.
9 months on
yeah,
school.
Yeah, it's absurd. And you look at, you know, what the Japanese are doing, what the Israelis are doing, what's happening around the world, what the Chinese, and it's just like, why are we inextricably wed to a model that's not only not responsive to the market, but doesn't place our children in the most competitive position. It's like we have to get with it. I mean, I find prisons to be an anathema. I find them to be morally wrong. The need to do something differently to produce different results. But we need to bring that same sort of passion and education and creativity to our educational paradigm to understand that there need to be we need to course in different models to provide different opportunities for children. Not lesser than or greater than, but different than.
You've spent a lot of time working in the prison system. What kind of changes do you think the system needs to help people prepare
Steve,
for?
You don't have that much time.
Tape is endless.
Exactly.
It's digital.
We'll be here for a decade.
In a short summary.
Dynamite.
You want to remake it completely.
Exactly. I mean, Steve, it's just, you know, we have the British model that the British don't even use. I mean, it's a penal-based model that's based in the 18th century that, you know, and you look at what's happening in Scandinavia and Norway and Israel and Italy, and different models around the world. I mean, you know, so yes, punishment has to be in a certain amount, but then we need to understand that 97% of the individuals going into prison are getting out. And if we don't deal with that reality, and
how do you convince the people on the outside to spend the money on it?
I mean, we're spending the money on it. We're spending the money. It's called prison. It's called $54,000 a year. You lock somebody up for 20 years, you're spending $1 million. It's an absurdity. You're spending $1 million, and the person's coming out worse. The person, by all accounts, psychiatric, criminogenically, economically, is coming out worse. So why would we, as a thinking, rational society, spend $1 million of taxpayers' money only to have that person engage in the most maladaptive behavior and have a 68% recidivism rate, namely that within 3 years they're going to commit a worse felon? This has to be the stupidest. This is respectable radio, so I can't engage in expletives. But this has to be we're defying, you know, Einstein's maxim. We're doing the same thing. And other nations are understanding the importance of behavior. And simply put, Steve, is that our morality, our behavior, isn't infused in us abstractly. I mean, we're not reading Maimonides and Aquinas and figuring out what's the right way to behave. We replicate the behavior around us. So if somebody's living in Camden public housing and everybody's running and gunning and doping, that's what everybody will do. And that becomes the norm. And so when the popo pull out and everybody runs, the police aren't considered your friend. The police are somebody who incarcerates you in a criminal justice system that doesn't provide you any opportunities. So we need to understand fundamentally that our criminal justice system is a way of just detaining people for long lengths of time. And the reality is that with gang membership on the rise around the nation, that gangs have a disproportionate influence, and some of the worst actors, some of the cruelest, sickest individuals, frankly, have a disproportionate influence. And so for a young man and woman in prison to survive, they have to engage. They have to be part and parcel.
It's
about educational opportunity. It's about breaking out of people out of traditional prison sets in terms of the high concrete walls and the barbed wires. It's looking at what Israel's doing with kibbutzim. It's looking at what Norway and Scandinavia is doing in terms of agrarian and technological models that are giving skill-based opportunities, that are having behavioral changes with psychologists within the community, grappling with domestic violence, with anger management, and particularly addiction. In New Jersey, 70%+ of the people that are behind bars are clinically addicted. So they're either addicted to heroin and or alcoholics. So part of this is understanding that there is a healthcare model that we have to grapple with. Part of it is a psychological model, but part of it's also an educational model that understands that none of these people, the overwhelming number of people, do not have skills that are marketable in the civic space.
Governor, thank you.
Thanks, Steve. That was only year one.
From Newark, New Jersey, this is Steve Lubetkin for State Broadcast News.